Amen. And he's got our best interest at hand. Amen. I thank God for that. Mark chapter 5, and just we're going to read a few verses here. I know that I'm standing between you and cake right now, so I will keep that in mind. But this is a Pentecostal church, and how long do we preach in a Pentecostal church? 35 to 85 minutes, okay? So stay with me. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him." Amen. And then jumping down to verse 20 in the same chapter. "And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." And all marveled. Amen. I want to preach to you for the next little bit from this title, No Hopeless Cases. No Hopeless Cases. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. Amen. Our text tonight sits in the middle of several hopeless situations. Just prior to the events that we just read about, Jesus and his disciples were sailing the Sea of Galilee when a tremendous storm overwhelmed their boat. And the disciples, they were certain, the Bible says, they were certain they were going to die. And what's amazing is that these men that were on this boat in this horrible event, this storm, they were seasoned fishermen. Surely they had been used to something like this before, but they were helpless. They were hopeless, and they didn't know what was going to solve their problem. In their minds, they were in a hopeless situation. And it's funny, while that storm, you know, far exceeded their own abilities and their own powers, it posed no problem to the Lord who was on their boat. Amen. He calmed the storm and he calmed his men. So that's what's happened right before our text tonight. And Jesus has now moved into a new set of impossible situations. He encounters a man that is possessed by thousands of demons. And this poor demon-possessed man, he's in a very desperate situation. He is unable to help himself. And the people around him are really, they're powerless to his situation as well. And after this incident, Jesus, if you read on in the scripture, will deal with a diseased woman and a dead girl. All four of these situations were what you would consider hopeless situations from a human perspective. Yet in each of these cases, Jesus proved that he was the master of all of them. Amen. That this case really is hopeless whenever you begin to break it down. Everyone around this man could do nothing. Everyone around him have done everything possibly they could to help this man. But no one could reach him. He lived in isolation. He lived in depression. He lived in desperation. His only companions were the dead bodies in the cemetery and the demons that dwelt within him. But when Jesus Christ walked into this hopeless case, he changed everything. Amen. Anybody glad to know that when Jesus steps on the scene, things can begin to change? When you get Jesus in the boat with you, things can begin to change. What seemed to be hopeless situation has now become full of hope. Amen. What seemed like a lost cause has now been turned around, and that's what God does. God takes impossible situations, hopeless cases, and he turns them around for our good. Amen. Here we have a description of a man who is firmly held in Satan's grip. The devil is his master, and this man is in a state of utter hopelessness and absolute helplessness. Amen. The Bible says that this man, he has an unclean spirit. Everybody say unclean. Then we find out that he is not just the home of one foul spirit, amen, but he is possessed by a legion of demons. Now, a legion in the Roman army could be anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 men. Anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 men. This man was the host of thousands of evil spirits. Amen. I would just remind you, something that struck me out of this is that this man's situation is no different from that of every lost soul that we would come in contact with in the world today. The Bible tells us that you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's exactly the status of the lost. People are dead in their trespasses. They are walking according to the power of the prince of the air. Scripture goes on to talk about how they fulfill the desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind. Amen. Two words stand out to me in the scripture. Mark chapter 5. Two words that describe this man. Those two words are tombs and chains. Tombs and chains. The demons that controlled him, they drove him away from the living, and he spent his life in the cemetery. We are told in verse 4 that the people around him tried their best to restrain him. You see, when we look at this man's situation, it isn't hard to make the leap from his condition to the condition of this world. Amen. People that are trapped in the same state of moral corruption, the sin that possesses the heart of the lost sinner drives him to spend his days and waste his years with the dead. Those who are lost in sin have no desire to be around the living. They have no desire to be around the things of God. They have no desire to be around Christians. They have no desire to be around anything that pertains to light. Amen. Of course, this is the thing. This is what happens. Man, in his ways of seeking to conquer and cure the problems that plague humanity, man promotes pills. We promote psychology. We promote our books as the answer to man's dilemma. The problem with those efforts, church, is the cure that we try to cure our own depravity is that man's efforts, they only treat the symptom, but they never really get down to the root problem. They never get really down to the thing that's actually causing the things to happen. Amen. Until you get the Lord on your side. Amen. Until you get God in the scene, because he's the one who knows how to get down to the root problem. He's the one that knows how to get down to what's causing the sin. We see the symptoms and we try to treat those symptoms. Amen. And if we just try to do that, we'll always come up short, but we've got to get the one who knows how to get to the source of the problem. Amen. Our help needs to come from the Lord and from nothing else. Hallelujah. When you read the story about this man, can you imagine with me the terror that he caused? Can you imagine? He's living among those tombs. He runs around like a wild man day and night. He cuts himself with rocks. His body is covered with blood and scars. He's filthy. He smells. He is terrifying to all who see him. Can you imagine? You see, we do not know why this man cut himself. Perhaps it was an effort to find relief from his demons. Perhaps the demons forced him to do it. We don't know why tonight, why he shrieked and screamed and cried in those tombs. Perhaps he did these things because he was desperate to be free. We don't know why he did the things he did, but his actions reveal that he is in a desperate situation and this man needs help. Whether you are lost and bound in your sin tonight, or whether you are saved and out of God's will, and there is only one cure for your condition. Let me tell you, you do not need a pill. You do not need psychology. You do not need a priest. You do not need a 12-step program. You, my friend, need Jesus, because he's the only answer to your problems. He's the only cure to your disease. He is the only antidote for the poison of sin. Clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. Jesus is the solution to your problem. I can't make it any more simple. I could actually call for the music right now, Brother Rice, because the answer tonight is the Lord God Almighty. No matter what question you have, no matter what problem you have, I don't care if it's a healing need, a financial need, a salvation need. My God shall supply all of those things. Amen? He's in control. He's the answer. There are people in this room, there are people in our city, there are people in this state who are defiled, who are depraved, who are desperate. There are billions in this world just like this poor man. They might not be as wild and wicked as this man, but they need help. They need someone far more powerful than they are to set them free. There is only one place where they can get the help they need, and the text tells us about this man. And his name is Jesus. Anybody thankful to know him tonight? Anybody thankful to know the power of the name of Jesus? Anybody ever cried out Jesus in a hopeless situation? Hallelujah. Everyone in that region feared this man. And rightfully so. They feared this man. I couldn't imagine someone just running around screaming and crying. I heard a coyote one time when I was camping and about just lost everything. I mean, I was ready to pack up and go home. Everyone in this area, they feared him. They fled in terror when this man came near. They trembled in their houses at the sound of his shrieks of torment. Children were told, get back inside. The crazy man from the cemetery is coming down the road. Everyone avoid this man. Everyone, their parents kept, kids, get behind me. Walk behind me as we're going to the store here. You just stay back there. I bet even the moms and the dads were like, they moved off the beaten path. When this man came through, everyone was avoiding him. Everyone was getting out of his way. Everyone didn't even want to come in contact with him. Everyone except Jesus. Everyone except the Lord. Amen. You see, God loved you in spite of what you've done. God sees past those things. You know, people look at other people and they think, oh, they're just a lost cause. They'll never be anything. But I'm thankful that God looks at us through a different set of eyes, through a different set of heart. God looks at you through the eyes of love. Everyone avoided him. Nobody wanted to go. This man was a hopeless case. He couldn't even walk through the town without people just getting out of his way. Nobody wanted anything to do with it. We see people and sometimes we think that some are a lost cause. And we may wonder if they can or will be saved. We wonder, and sometimes we're even guilty of saying they could never be saved. Nobody could ever reach them. Nobody's ever going to be able to reach them. I can't tell you for sure that they will be, but I can look around this very room and I can see case after case after case of men and women that had been written off as a lost cause. You are here and you are saved today because God looked at you through compassion. God had compassion on your life. We are here by nothing else than the grace and the mercy of God. God loved you in spite of your sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that for a minute. While you are messing up, while you are making mistakes, horrible decisions, God went to a cross and died for your sins. And what's amazing to me, Brother Rice, is sometimes I think that he went to this cross knowing that people wouldn't choose to live for him. Knowing that he was doing this for people who would turn their backs on him. I'm thankful for God's boundless love. I'm thankful for that he looked on my life with compassion. Amen. He loved me and he loved you in spite of our sins. He loved you enough to die on the cross and he loved you enough to come and set you free. Let me tell you, no one is beyond the compassion of Jesus Christ. Not a wild man in the cemetery running, hollering because of his torment. Not Zacchaeus in his tree. Not Saul of Tarsus with his agenda of hate and destruction, not the Ethiopian eunuch with his religious confusion, and not even you with the baggage that you carry. There is a compassionate Savior waiting to set you free tonight. Jesus sees people with a different set of eyes. We see people and their sins, and he sees what he can do with their life. Praise God. Amen. I'm thankful to know that tonight, that God doesn't see me in my sinful state. No, God doesn't like sin. God, the sin will keep you separate from God. That's what happens. And that's why we can't die with sin in our lives. That's why we've got to come to an altar. We've got to repent of our sins. Amen. Because sin one day will eternally separate from God. Amen. I'm thankful that God doesn't see me in that sinful state. God could look back at a 13, 14-year-old and stuff, not wanting to live for Him, not making right decisions, not dedicating myself. God could have said, well, he's just a sinner. I'll just write him off. But God looked past that. God looked with compassion on me. God looked with love on me. You see, we see the sin, but God sees what He can do with that life. We see a drunk, but God sees a missionary. We see a drug addict, but He sees a preacher. We see a sinner, but He sees a choir member. We see a deadbeat, but Jesus sees a Sunday school teacher. He will take what you give Him, and He will give you something much more precious in return. Amen. Give Jesus your Jacob, He'll give you back in Israel a prince with God. Give Jesus your Simon, the cursing fisherman, He'll give you back Simon Peter, a mighty preacher. Give Jesus your Saul, persecutor of the church, He'll give you back Paul, the apostle. Give Jesus yourself tonight, church, and you will be amazed at what He can do. Amen. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everything is made new. All the old things are passed away. But you have to give it to Him. I can't make you give it to Him. I can preach to you. I can teach you. I can talk to you. But it ultimately comes down to you. It's your decision. It's not mine. For goodness, if it was our decision, how big would this church be? It would be if it was up to us, amen, but it's not. All we can do, church, is we can pass the ball and put it in your court. That's it, put it in your hands. And sadly, a lot of people set it aside. A lot of people, I'll get to it later. A lot of people, well, you know, I've got this going on in my life and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do for my career. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to be. I'm trying to get my life in order. I'm trying to make sure my relationship is in order. Not your relationship with God, but other relationships. That's what we do when the ball is put in our hands a lot. Amen. You have got to give it to Him. You have to give yourself away. But I promise you, I dare you, give Him everything and watch what He will do. Step back and watch what He'll do. Get Jesus on the scene. This man who ran from everything else ran to Jesus and fell at His feet. This man who had nothing going for him. This man who probably had every excuse in the book why he couldn't run at this man named Jesus and get down and worship Him. The demons that drove this man away from all human relationships drove him to the feet of Jesus. Thousands of devils could not keep this man from running to Jesus. Thousands of demons could not keep this man from falling at His feet and worshiping Him. Can I tell you tonight that 1,000 devils can't keep you from getting to the feet of Jesus Christ? 1,000 devils can't stop you from living for God. 1,000 devils can't stop you from being faithful to the house of the Lord. And Jesus said unto this man, come out of this man, unclean spirit. Every human effort had failed to deliver. Everything that had been tried to help him regain a grip on his own was proven useless. But one word from Jesus, one word from Jesus was able to set this man free. You see, man can try his religious works, but they will all fail. Man can try his psychological treatments, but they will never convert a sinner's heart. Amen. Man can try his pills, his programs, his practices, but church, they will never save a single soul from the pits of hell. There is only one solution to the problem of sin, and his name is Jesus. There is only one hope for the fallen soul, and his name is Jesus. There is only one hope for those who are trapped in sin, and his name is Jesus. One word from him and death is swallowed up. Sin is no longer victorious. One word and the captive is set free. Anybody thankful for the word of the Lord tonight? Anybody thankful for the power of the spoken word? You see, you might feel hopeless tonight. You might feel like you're in a hopeless situation. You might be in what seemed hopeless, but I cannot tell you, get the Lord on the scene. Get the Lord in your job. Get the Lord in your relationships. Get the Lord in your home. Get Jesus in your kids. Get Jesus in your finances. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be hopeless. I believe God has a word for every one of us tonight. God wants to do something in your life tonight. God wants to do a new thing. Jesus changed this man. He's no longer running about crying and cutting himself. Now he's calm. Now he's peaceful. He's changed. There's a change. That's what God does. You cannot meet Jesus and stay the same. You can't do it. Jesus clothed this man. There's no longer any need for that. He's clothed. He's in proper order. This is just further proof of his change. Well, you see, what we need to notice here is that what Jesus does in the heart of a man is always worked out on the outside of a man. Jesus changed him from the inside out. He started with the man's real problem. That's what I was saying earlier. We always start with the symptoms, but Jesus starts with the real problem. He gets down to the source. He finds a sinner, and the problem is this man's heart. The sinner commits, it isn't the root problem, what the sin that he's committed is, but he goes beyond that. His sin is the outer working or fruit. The sin the sinner commits is merely the outward manifestation of a wicked heart. Jesus gets down to the root problem. Jesus, I love it that he doesn't just say, oh, here you go, here's a pill, here's a 12-step program, just fix this. No, it might take away the symptoms for a little bit. It might take care of the, but if you don't get down to the root problem, those symptoms are going to come back. Those things are going to come back, but we've got to take care of the issue, the real issue. How many times are we guilty of just treating symptoms? We never treat the problem. We don't get down to the root issue. Jesus goes on at the end of the chapter. He refused the man's request to be allowed to go with him. Instead, Jesus sent him back to his home to tell others what the Lord had done. And that is precisely what he did. He went, the Bible says, into Decapolis, which means the 10 cities, and he preached the gospel to all who would listen. Can you picture in your mind this bizarre scene that's played out? The people, they see him coming. Kids, get inside. Kids, get out of there. Get inside, hide. They see him coming. They cringe in fear. The children behind their mothers. Doors are slammed shut. Windows are closed. People run in fear, crying. Ah, it's a bizarre scene. It's not like Godzilla or anything like that, but it's a bizarre scene. People are running, but wait a minute. They stop. Something's different. Something looks different. He's still the same man. I still see the scars. It's the one who was running and crying and screaming. I still see the scars, but there's something different in his eye. There's something. He's clothed. He isn't screaming. He isn't running. He isn't in torment anymore, but he's preaching about a man named Jesus. He isn't running around like a wild man. He's calm. He's sane. And he's talking about how Jesus changed his life. He's peaceful. He's changed. The people listen to his story and they're touched. And some are no doubt probably saved. I would imagine that no one had a strong defense against this man's arguments. After all, he had been radically transformed by the power of God. You see, there's a real change in somebody when they really get in touch with Jesus. When they really, really, it's more than goosebumps. It's more than tears. When God pours himself into you, church, there's a change unlike anything. It's something that you can't even comprehend sometimes. You see somebody and you just say, man, there's something different about that person. There's something different about that man. What used to come out as cursings are now blessings to God. God can do that for you. You see, people might argue with us about our doctrines, but they cannot refute our testimonies. They cannot refute our experience. Amen. Anybody ever spoke in tongues tonight? You can't refute that. You can't ever say it's not real because it's real. Amen. Would our music come tonight? What seemed hopeless, Jesus easily took care of this hopeless situation. And can I tell you, he can do the same for you tonight. Because with him, there are no hopeless cases. There's only powerful solutions. Would you stand with me tonight? Tonight, I don't bring to you a cute little sermon. I'm not trying to make my words fancy or make them elaborate. I'm simply preaching to you Jesus. Just Jesus. Because he's enough. He's more than enough. After all, it is all about him. Everything you've ever questioned can be answered with Jesus. Everything, every problem. Why do we try to complicate things? Why do we try to make things difficult when Jesus has always been the answer? Matthew 4, we find Jesus in the wilderness. I was telling the youth this morning. Matthew 4, we find Jesus in the wilderness. He had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan comes to him and tries to tempt him. Satan comes to him and he says, forget about what Scripture says. You need to cater to what people think Scripture says. You see, they think Messiah is going to come out of the desert with manna in his hand. So why don't you go ahead and turn these stones into bread? Why don't you give them bread and they'll follow you and it won't cost you anything? With that in mind, it's interesting that Jesus responds the way he does. He quotes the tale at the end of Deuteronomy 8:3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But here's what the entire verse says, Deuteronomy 8:3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus turned the tables on Satan. By quoting this verse, he points out that the whole purpose of manna in the wilderness was to show the people that their dependence was on God, not on bread. In fact, Deuteronomy 8:2, the verse above it says that God was testing Israel to see if they would follow his commandments. In other words, bread wasn't the point. Eating wasn't the point. Manna wasn't the point. But knowing God and obeying God and following God, that was the point. It was all about God. That was the reason that God gave manna. That was the reason that God gave the law. And that was the reason that Jesus came, so that we could have a relationship with Him, so that we could commune with Him, so that we could experience Him. It's not about the bread. It's not about that. It's not about the supply. It's about the supplier. Jesus went on to say in the New Testament, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. If you've ever questioned what Jesus is to you, He's everything that you need, church. He is more than just what we get on the physical side, but He'll take care of your spiritual life. He'll take care of your soul, which is the one that will live on for eternity. No matter your situation in here tonight, the only thing you need is Jesus. He's all that matters. He is all that matters. The devil will come to you and say, you need this. Our response should be, but I have Jesus. He'll come to you and say, if you want to be happy in your life, you've got to have this. Our response should be, but I have Jesus. Amen. And devil, he's already promised me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. You've already come too late to convince me otherwise. In Him, there are no hopeless cases. There are no impossible situations. I don't know what you face in here tonight. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what problems are going on in your life. But God is fully aware. God is supremely concerned about your life. And if the devil tries to lie to you and say otherwise, I wish that you would point him to a picture of an old rugged cross and let him know that God is supremely concerned about me, that God knows exactly where I'm at, and He knows exactly what I need. Would you bow your heads tonight? Would you close your eyes? Hallelujah. I believe we can turn this whole sanctuary into an altar tonight. This altar will be open for those who want to come. Maybe you do feel like you're in a hopeless situation. Maybe you feel like maybe you've tried to change it. Maybe you've tried. But can I tell you, you're not powerful enough. You need to get the Lord on the scene. You need to bring Him in. You need to get Him on the boat with you, because without Him, you will fail. You may not fail next week. You may not fail next month. But eventually that day is coming, because we're not strong enough on our own. But God is more than enough. God is all that you need. God is everything. He said, I am the bread. I am the bread. As they begin to sing, I want to invite you down to pray. Amen.